Okay, we're going to bring this meeting to order, regular commission meeting, Tuesday, February 19th, 2019, at 6 p.m. Can we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Gary.
Roy.
Here.
Richard.
Here.
Ken.
Here.
And Wes is not here and Joe's not here.
So we can get an introduction of guest and port staff. We'll start with the staff first.
Kim.
Kim. Boom.
Gary Dillinger, port manager.
Travis Webster, harbor master.
And April Sechnowski, office assistant.
Okay. So now, on the guest part, I'm going to ask each public to introduce yourself by name. Peggy?
Peggy Garangelli.
Sean Garangelli.
Ray?
Ray Mann. George Morris.
Boyd Allen.
Tom B. No, let's say Al.
Al Cornell.
Camille Soares Brown.
Rick Washerbaugh.
Tom Bean.
Patricia Scott.
Okay. Thanks everybody, and thanks for everybody for coming. Please, if you haven't already done so, please check your cell phones and make sure they are in the silent mode or off. We do have a modification, addition, and change to the agenda requested by Gary Dillinger, our port manager. We have deleted the infograph application. And we have deleted the port infrastructure repair list for tonight. And we have added item J, transfers to capital funds for payment of service and supplies. That was added to the new agenda. So I will ask the board for a motion to approve the agenda that has been modified by the manager.
I approve that we use the modified agenda for this meeting.
I'll second that.
Roll call, Gary.
Ken. Excuse me, Ken.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Roy.
Yes. Okay, at this point in time, the board has the option of declaration of potential conflicts of interest on any item on the agenda. I don't have any conflicts.
I do not.
I do not.
So we have approved the modified agenda. So I don't have any public comments before me tonight. So we will move on to consent items. Get a motion to accept the Tuesday, January 15th, 2019 regular meeting.
I'll make a motion. We accept Tuesday, January 15th, 2019 regular meeting.
Second.
Gary?
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the Thursday, January 31st, 2019 special.
Second.
Minutes.
Gary?
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
The roll call is going to be quick tonight. Financial report, Gary.
Okay, so.
Ken, whoever's.
I'll start.
Okay.
So the financial report, operation revenue was $150,601 for the month of January. And operation expenses, $149,239, which left a net income of $1,362. Non-operations, where we had tax and interest and dividends, we got $6,619. Non-operating expenses, which is FEMA grants, and debt service interest, is $4,229. So the net income of non-operation was $2,390. And then right below that is our depreciation amount, which is not factored into these numbers, which is $29,752. That's the number we should be saving each month for the future of the port. which translates about $350,000 a year. So it's a pretty big number.
It'll get there, Gary.
Yes, it will, eventually. Any other questions on the rest of that financial report?
Can we get a motion to accept the financial report?
I move that we accept the financial report.
I'll second that.
Gary?
Roy?
Yes.
Kim?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Okay, item B, port manager report. Gary?
All right, safety and security. Port of Perkins Harbor safety performance recorded one accident and zero injuries. One of our employees was rear-ended making a left turn into the retail parking lot. Her personal vehicle was totaled, and an employee didn't report any injury. Port employees perform weekly safety meetings. Port staff conducts daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly inspections on port-owned facilities. South Coast night security and the port issued 15 parking violations, 5 no camping, removed 2 unauthorized visitors, 1 trespass. We had 5 vandalism thefts, 1 maintenance issue on port properties. Attaches a security log for you guys' review. I guess before I go on, any comments on this security log?
I like it.
Nope. Okay. Mm-hmm. We also had a visitor accidentally drive through the RV park dry camping chain link fence. They ended up kind of on a jetty. They drove away. I think she had minor damage on her car, but the sheriff was notified and they made a report. Mm-hmm. So.
So does their insurance cover that?
Yes.
We file a claim with their
yes.
insurance.
Okay. Port office, I made a trip to Salem to visit our local state representatives. I met with David Brock Smith and Senator David Hurd, of Dallas Hurd, regarding port infrastructure repairs. It's too late in the process to drop a bill for the port in this session. Senator Hurd was very interested in the port financial and repair issues. He wants to stop by and see the port firsthand. He hasn't stopped by yet that I know of. If the port is awarded any grants, the opportunity for state assistance will be greater. I also attended SDAO Legislative Days Conference in Salem. SDAO provided updates on this year's legislative makeup and bills that could affect special districts. Met Ted Worth with IFA Business Oregon and Alex Campbell with Regional Solutions Coordinator in Southern Oregon regarding port conditions. Ted surveyed the dock renovation project and also a basin water piling project. FEMA Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan, we have a meeting scheduled March 7th to look at 2020 funding. So we'll see what happens there. And then the last thing, SDO risk management site survey was conducted, and I attached the report. Do you have any comments on the report? Well, most of the comments were repairing the roofs to our buildings and painting the retail buildings and fixing bottles. So, any other questions, comments?
What are we doing about those the assessments? Are we addressing those yet?
I like to talk about it in a special meeting because it's listed in my repairs of the infrastructure. To repair the roof on these buildings and painting, it's going to take a chunk of money to do that. So there'll be a further discussion about how we want to spend our funds.
Are you going to report at all on that canceled check business you and I talked about today?
Cancel check?
Yeah, we have to write it. You said a chunk of money. We're going to put out a chunk of money.
Yeah, that's actually the added item.
That's the added, okay, you're going to talk about that then.
Yeah, action item J. Actually, it's not a canceled check. It was transferring money to pay the check. Yeah.
Any other discussion from the board? Can we get a motion to accept the port manager report?
I so move.
Second. Gary?
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Harbor master report, Travis?
All right. First, with the RV park, throughout the winter months, we are still expecting some more high seas. We're kind of going through them right now, and the storms are not as bad as we expected. And we're going to continue to get roads as clear as possible. I know they're really bad right now, so next week, things are slowing down with the piling project, so we're going to make some plans to try and get that cleaned up a little bit more. A nice weekends were a key contributor to higher occupancy. For January 2019, we had a 10.35% occupancy rate for 2019 in January, which was up 2.72%. And the Marina Basin 1 piling project was started on January 22nd. The Bergeson crew is doing a great job and is still on schedule to be completed by the end of February 2019. Basin 2, Sea Dock at the south end of Basin 2 remains closed due to docks hitting bottom and unsafe walkways. Other closures are still N Dock, that's on N3 and 5, and P Dock on P11 and 13. All those vessels have been relocated. In March, here in next month, we're going to get those fingers fixed and get them back into operation. Mortgage renewals for January 2019, we had 10 in Basin 1, 19 in Basin 2, and 7 transient boats for the month of January. Boat launches, we had 11. Gear storage and trailer storage. Crab season started as of February 1st. Roads throughout the gear storage have numerous potholes and drainage issues. Now the crab pots are out of the gear storage areas, we're going to try and smooth the roads again. I'm going to tie that in with the RV park, get one piece of equipment, and we're just going to go through and do the best we can to get things flat and drivable. Commercial receiving docks. Receiving docks inspections are ongoing. These inspections show that 3 out of the 5 docks are still showing signs of failing support structures, dock surface, and lack of drainage. Work orders are being issued for small repairs on and around these dock areas. In the boatyard, the forklift work has been slow through the month of January. Forklift work included removing shrimp gear and drag gear and loading crab tanks onto the larger commercial fleet and the smaller boats. We hope that the season runs smoothly, but in the event that vessels need hauled out, our boatyard is, and travel lift is ready. Billable services performed this month at the boatyard. The forklift, we had 7.5 hours worth of work for 4 boats. Travel lift haul outs were 2, and we still have 1 working boat in our yard and 8 abandoned boats. Maintenance crew completed 55 work orders. Attached is the log and descriptions of the work that was done. The East Commercial bathroom with the showers on the commercial side, that bathroom has been repainted and epoxy floors put down. The crew just started the retail bathrooms on the women's side, repainting those, and they'll move over to the men's side next week. And new finger construction for the sport basin on D Dock. Those were completed and put in. They were completed this month, but we were starting them last month. And other than that, that is my report. Any questions? Yes, sir.
What's the long-term plan on the 8 abandoned boats?
We're going to have to demo them. We're going to have to sit down at another special meeting, and it's another funding issue, and decide how much money we want to allocate towards.
We have no recourse against the owner, previous owners, or abandoning owner?
Not with the boats that we have out right now, no.
Can you allow those to be stripped of parts and sell those? Like have a garage sale and say if you want to buy halogen lights or something like that, come on down.
We could.
Talk to us, recover some money that way.
It's possible. We'd have to talk with the commission to get the approval on surplusing them. Some of those boats were surplus, then went through auction, trying to get them out of here. Some were bought, but they never took them out. Yeah, they're bought for cheap.
Yeah.
But they never picked them up.
Yeah.
You know, we kept their money, but most of those boats I think are earmarked for demo. But if the board wants to piece them out, then what's left, we demo them. That's always a possibility.
Why do we end up with them? I mean, they walk away, but we know who was paying. Why aren't we going after them, or are we?
We have, we've gone after them. We've sent people to collections, but the facts are that we still end up with the boat. No matter what happens, we end up with the boat because they end up getting themselves into a place where they can't pay us, they can't pay to get it out of here, they can't pay to do usually anything, and the boat ends up sitting in our hands.
So we have to go through a lien process to get title of the boat, and then we turn around and do whatever we're going to do.
Sometimes they sign them over to us, but some of the boats were abandoned on us, which we tried to go after the owners, they just disappeared. I think that's Estella and the Gypsy Lee. There's nothing you can do about those.
And it's a problem in every port up and down the coast. Every single port has the same problem. Charleston probably being the worst. They probably have 50 derelict boats sitting there they can't do nothing with.
Right.
It's really ugly.
The port of Charleston, Gary was telling us about that they budget quite a bit of money every year towards demolition of boats. And I'm on a website on the West Coast with port managers and harbor masters, and one of the big topics that came up was abandoned vessels. And from the Port of Seattle, every port that you can, the big ports, they all have the exact same problems. So I'm sure there's things in the works of trying to, I think there's grant opportunities that you can go through to possibly get, help with funding to get rid of some of these boats, but it is a West Coast problem. I think it's a port problem in general with a lot of these boats.
And I think last month, Port of Astoria actually sued, if they know the owner, and they sue them for the demo cost. So, but most of these boats, I think we already went through the lien. We already went through, they signed over the boat to us. So, so I think one boat, they still owe us money. I think they're going to go to collections. So.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, sir.
You guys demanded that we have insurance on our boats, liability insurance. Why can't there be an attachment for abandonment and to get rid of the boats, through an insurance company? Make a requirement that each boat owner would have that as a part of their insurance. I think that's a very, very simple.
But is it available?
Excuse me?
Is that policy available? Do you know for a fact that that's available?
I don't know. You would have to do some research with some insurance companies to find out if they would be interested in doing that.
Good idea.
We can check with with our insurance carrier.
Good idea. Any other discussion for Travis?
I went and looked at that bathroom job. Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. All right, can we get a motion to accept the Harbor Master report?
I'll make a motion. We accept the Harbor Master report.
I'll second.
Gary?
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Okay, action items. We'll start with action item A, special purpose accounting framework. Kim? Gary?
Gary?
So I think you're aware that we have a new CPA this year for our audit for previous fiscal year. We also have a consultant CPA that's helping us out since we have a new CPA, I think. I think he's there to help us out, right?
Right.
On both sides.
Yeah.
So he recommended that we should get away from our current accounting practice and go with this, they call it the GFOA, Special Purpose Accounting Framework. It's basically a cash basis accounting reporting. It's kind of interesting, this Darrell Burns, I think in 1982, he recognized his name on the resolution 119. He was actually consulting this port back then. So he's consulting us again, some 37 years later?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 39 years. So he's recommending that we go to this new this new framework, which is going to help us out on our audits. It's going to make it go faster, and we believe it's going to be on time instead of late every year. And also going to be less expensive for the CPA to review it. So we don't see a reason why we wouldn't want to change it. It's going to make, I don't know how much of this is going to change on a report or the financials. It's going to show cash basis. It's going to show us more.
More actual numbers.
Yeah, actuals instead of accrual.
Instead of the accrual. That makes sense.
Accounts doesn't make sense to me. I just know I open my wallet and see what's in it, and I got that part. But
the big thing is that we would, he's saying with this, it would be easier, and the auditors would. We had a tough time finding an auditor to do this, to do the audit, and we had to do an extension, and we're hoping to get it, if it simplify it and do this kind of framework, this accounting framework, it might, we might get it done on time and get auditors that actually want to audit us.
Well, my main question would be, what's the impact on you and the port staff?
It should be easier for.
Easier?
Yeah. Because you don't have accrual, you have to do the journal entries, the depreciation, and all that, and you wouldn't have to do that.
You're happy.
That's reporting it to the state.
Right.
Yeah. Well, is that all you need to know?
No, but you're happy with the it would be a positive change.
Right. Yes, it would definitely be positive.
I'll make a motion. We approve the new accounting procedure.
Second?
I'll second.
Gary?
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Crow Clay and Associates Personal Services Agreement? Gary?
All right. This company can do a conceptual drawing of our RV park rebuild. They've done quite a few projects here in the past, so they know our port. They actually did drawings 1995 of the RV park. So it's not to exceed $10,000 for this first phase.
Yes.
So, if we're going to do some master planning for the RV park, is this the time to talk in a more broad sense about what might happen with the RV park over time, what we might do?
Yeah, it could be. I know we talked about it, well, a couple months ago we had a conceptual plan. You guys approved that plan and go after conceptual drawings. So, if you guys want to talk about it some more, I'm fine with that.
I just think we're premature, and especially with the flooding issues we're having on the north end of the RV park, I have no issue with this company, but I would like to see a workshop set up and either extend, come back and look at this 30 days or 60 days from now after we've had some workshops. I'd still like to see a convenience store as part of the master plan. The location, I think we need to sit down and agree on a location through a workshop and then hire these people to do, you know, their work on the specific location that we're requesting it be done.
Ken, are you wanting to start a committee of some kind, or just
a committee or a workshop?
Whichever. No, I agree with you.
That lower end right now, if we get some more high tides, could be declared a wetland with all the water that's flowing through those dry camps and that. I think this is premature and we need to step back in a little bit of time to look at it.
Bishop?
Well, I don't want to make this a real onerous process, but this, to me, if we're going to take a look at the RV park, this might be a window to look at the RV park and talk to our engineer about what could we do on the seawall there to prevent some of that problem that we're having. I would question whether that front row of trailers even ought to be there. I realize those are pretty lucrative spots, but they are also pretty exposed. And I'd also think this would be an opportunity for us to look at maybe the kite field and seeing whether or not that would be something we would look to develop for more RV sites. The only reason I mention that is, as we just discussed during the budget meeting, you know, we're short of money and we need to make more money somehow. And that is a piece of property we own that has the potential, possibly, to develop. So that may be something we might want to look at. You know, just some ideas. Roy and I talked about this the other day, and we talked about maybe putting yurts in there or little cabins. Maybe developing 8 RV spots or 6 RV spots over there right across the parking lot from the boat basin and attaching a slip with each one of those spots. So that, I know that's going to be a problem because they're in demand, but we could possibly develop a series of RV sites had a slip with them. So you want to come here with your cab over camper and boat trailer, you can pull it in, walk across, and go get on your boat. And I don't know many places in Oregon where you can do that.
That's a good idea.
So I'm just suggesting that maybe we should take a little broader look at what the potential for the RV park be, and then look at maybe a phased approach to that where we do the initial piece of work we talked about with the laundromat, moving the office and that sort of thing, and then think about a phase two if we find the funding to go develop a kite field, if that's even appropriate.
So I would make a motion that we come back to Crow and Clay Associates in 60 days if we feel we've developed a process or an outline of what we want them to draw up.
I'll second that, Ken.
Well, would we not invite them to this workshop?
Oh, yeah. That would be.
I mean, would it seem appropriate to have them come and listen?
I may have to pay his time coming up here.
Well, our first workshop can be without them. Then, when we narrow it down, I could invite them.
Mm-hmm. It'd probably be worthwhile doing it that way. We're ready to give them something. So the other thing is to let you guys know, the Oregon Parks grant deadline is April 1st, so we'll probably just skip that and go to the next year. Hopefully they have funding next year, but this year they have like $4 or $5 million that they're going to allocate the parks. And we'd probably fit their maximum amount is $750,000 for a project. Like I said, their deadline is April 1st, so I think that there's a lot to do with the grant. I went to a webinar or attended a webinar. There's a lot of things to do in the grant to get lined out. So
it also might be beneficial to involve Harbor Sanitation in a discussion about replacing this current sewer line and putting it in somewhere farther to the east. And I'm keying into it from that direction. I don't know if that's something, I know there's some discussion at that agency about that sewer and whether they're gonna keep it or give it to us and what might happen if they wanna build a new one. So if we're gonna have this, like I say, the big, I don't wanna make this a huge deal, but if we're gonna talk with RV Park, let's talk it and see what the potential is and decide where we should go.
Okay. So let's plan a workshop with the full committee or full board.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, we'll set one up for next month.
Absolutely. Sounds good, Gary.
Okay.
No great idea.
And you want me to invite their entire board or just a couple of their board members?
I think you'd be better off if just have the manager come.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just Kelly.
Okay.
And I'm not suggesting we defer to them, but if we're gonna do a bunch of work over there and they wanna get in there and put in a new line, for example, we might as well do all that at one time rather than putting down pavement and cutting it
twice
later. Yeah.
Okay.
So we had a motion to table the Crow and Clay Associates Personal Service Agreement. We had a second. We need a roll call, please.
Kim?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Okay, the appointment of the budget officer. And I recommend that we appoint Kim Boom as our budget officer.
I'll second.
I recommend we appoint one of the commissioners who's not here to show them they gotta show up, right?
I would like, yes, it has to be a spank.
I agree. I'll second the motion.
Kim, do you accept?
I accept.
Thank you. Gary?
Kim?
Yes.
Kim? Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Item D, service contracts for calendar year 2019. Gary?
All right. So last fiscal year, there's a few services and goods that exceeded the port manager's limit. And I'm just trying to, let the board know that we did that. You know, some of those areas got exceeded. So I'm trying to figure out how a good way to keep from doing that again. And one is doing service agreements with certain entities beforehand and try to work within that budget. That makes sense.
It does to me. I think this is an excellent idea. When we had that big problem down there and 5R Excavation came and did all the work, I asked him, I said, do we have any kind of a contract with them that establishes the base rate for the Bobcat right. and the dump truck and all that stuff? And it seems logical to me that we would do that in an upfront contract and get all that stuff ironed out
right.
and get our hooks in them in a kind of a priority fashion. So when we have incidents like that, we already know what the deal is.
Right.
And we can just get them in here to do the work. I think this is a great idea. Assuming you can get somebody to bid it.
Well, we just put it out to bid and hopefully we get something. So I guess, I mean, first off, I put down there recommended not to exceed amounts. What I'm looking for is you're okay with these numbers, then we'll come back to the board with these contracts with these suppliers or contractors or whatever for you guys' final approval.
So, for example, under general hardware supplies, you would go talk to Kurz or Fastenal or somebody like that? And
yeah, we actually got quotes from them already.
Yeah.
on the general supplies that we buy. But some of that's going to be kind of hard because sometimes I might be out and we'll just go to the next lumber store or whatever we need to get. But some of those, like we spend a lot of money at Ace and we go over them out. It's kind of hard to.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Not on the contracts per se, because I think this is an excellent idea, but on the earthwork, and we're talking about, you need a drag scraper, basically, or what are you going to get to do the gravel roads?
It's not going to be us. That's, you know, something that when the gear storage roads get as bad as what they are, you know, I can call whoever our person is and say, you need to, you know, or in their contract, you know, is what, you know, maintain these roads, you know, once a month. You know, you need to come through here and keep them flat until we get pavement. On our areas that we have pavement, you know, or potholes, you know, that would be part of what the earth, you know, fix the potholes, keep our roads going. If there's ditches, RV park cleanup, you know, stuff like that is kind of what.
Well, I'm just, the reason I'm asking is, does the forklift that you have hydraulics out the back end?
No.
Okay. Because the cost of a drag scraper with hydraulics for up and down would solve a lot of our problems. Mm-hmm. But you've got to have a piece of equipment to tow it. And if we don't have that, then it's...
Yeah, with that forklift doesn't have okay. that option.
Would you anticipate that we would realize some savings doing it this way as opposed to a just call up and, hey, can you come do this?
If we were to buy a piece of equipment?
No, if we entered into a service contract with these guys and said, look, we want you to come to work when we need you, would they give us a discounted rate or not?
It'll be depends on what their proposal, you know, they're going to be bidding against other people. So, and that's, Jerry might be able to help me out with, we're going after a per hour, you know,
per hour rate.
We want a per hour rate, so then we can kind of judge, okay, you know, we can spend this many hours towards the gear storage roads, we can spend this much. And is that answering your question?
Well, I'm thinking more in terms of like general hardware. Would Kurz be inclined to give us a discounted rate, you know, 5% off of retail or something like that? Or
for a commercial account?
Yeah.
Yes, I'll have to look into it, but I think we do.
I think we get a discount.
Yeah,
now.
I think almost them, Gold Beach Lumber, Fastenal, we get great discounts through. There's a lot of, I think we get public
entity
discounts. We do, you know, on all of our trucks, Napa, O'Reilly's, all those places, we get discounts being a public entity. Whatever ends up, you know, getting this, I think that should be one of the things. It's a great thing you bring it up is, you know, what are we getting out of this service, such as discounts or, you know, anything like that. And we'll include that when we bring it back to you, is everything we'll be getting from that service.
The people that are submitting bids, especially on services, do they provide insurance also?
They're going to provide it, yeah.
Okay.
So, Gary, are you asking the board for a motion of any kind on this tonight?
Yeah, I think we'd like to have a board agreeing on our plan going forward.
Okay. So we get a motion for the service contract for calendar year 2019.
I make a motion to accept and approve the port manager as designee to execute the necessary service contracts and purchase goods on behalf of the Port of Brookings Harbor Commission in the form approved by the council for the following: dock maintenance not to exceed $50,000, earthwork not to exceed $20,000, electrical not to exceed $15,000, engineering not to exceed $50,000, fuel tank and pump not to exceed $10,000, general hardware supplies not to exceed $15,000, marine fuel for commercial and sport vessels not to exceed $500,000. Landscaping not to exceed $10,000. And toiletries, janitorial supplies not to exceed $15,000.
I'll second it.
Gary?
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Okay, action item E, Wells Tail Candy and Gift Lease Amendment, number one.
All right, her lease ends April 30th, 2019. She already used her option for one additional year. I'm just presenting this idea out to do an amendment to her lease instead of redoing a whole new lease, let's do an amendment for another 5 years. And each year, she can either extend it or terminate it, and same with the port. Either side can end it or extend it. So this amendment will extend her lease, current lease, another 5 years.
Does that include the current cost that she pays?
Yeah, that's the CPI is still increase.
So that's adjusted independent of that?
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll make a motion, we approve the lease action item E.
I'll second.
Gary?
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Okay, authorizing the signature for Harbor Sanitary sale of Port Real property. Gary?
All right, sometime last year, the board gave Kathy, the interim manager, the approval to sign documents on the sale, and I believe they're still going through the property lot line adjustments. So, port manager or representative of the port needs to still sign documents to finalize the sale. So this resolution will put Kathy out of the loop and then put me back in the loop to sign documents.
Good.
I make a motion to approve and adopt resolution number 505, authorizing the sale of Port Real property and authorizing the port manager Gary Dillinger to sign all sale and property line adjustment documents as needed to complete the sale of Port Real property to Harbor Sanitary District.
Second.
Gary?
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Okay, G, adopting supplemental budget.
All right, this is the second part of the supplemental budget. The board of commissioners need to approve the resolution after the committee approved it. So let's go through the approval process again.
I make a motion to adopt resolution number 503.
Second.
Gary?
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Okay, action item H, employee handbook, vacation benefit amendment request. Gary?
All right, maybe Kim can handle this one.
So we're asking to change just some wording on page 45 of your handout. We basically want to change it from the vacation calendar year, which runs January to December, to the date of hire for the employee. So it's accruing off that now. We just want to have the handbook reflect what we're, how we're accruing it. Mm-hmm. So we got that change on page 45 and 46.
Of the handbook.
Of the handbook. Do you see where I'm talking about?
I'll make a motion. We approve the employee handbook change for vacation benefits.
Gary?
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Action item I, procurement request for dock grading. Gary?
All right. The dock renovation project for BC Fisheries has a trench drain, and it's kind of the center of the dock. Right now, there's steel grading that's in it, and the steel grading was temporary anyways until we put permanent stuff in there. The original plan was stainless steel, but the cost is about three times more expensive than what that grading here is, which is fiberglass, heavy duty fiberglass.
You guys want to touch it?
How deep is the trench?
Looks pretty
good. Inch and a half.
That's the
nice
idea.
Sturdy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still have $16,000 in the IFA loan to use. This is roughly $13,000 to $14,000 worth. So we'll get reimbursed. We'll get reimbursed for this from the bridge loan. So So I'm asking for board approval to purchase it.
We've already got stainless steel?
No, we have not.
Nothing in there?
No, it's just regular steel. It's in there.
Okay. That's in pretty bad shape.
Yeah,
steel part, yeah, it's in real bad shape.
I make a motion to approve the procurement request for fiberglass grading from Grading Pacific, the dock renovation project L1601.
Second?
Second.
Gary?
Ken?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Okay, the amended item for action item is action item J, transfers to capital funds for payment of service and supplies.
All right, so we just found out recently that we actually have to pay our bills before we get reimbursed from FEMA. And we got our first pay request from Bergerson, which was $450,000 and change. And that takes just about all of our money that we have in our funds. So we have to move some transfers out of our debt service to pay for this first pay request. And that's what we're asking for, is the approval to take some money out of our debt service, pay the first check to Bergerson, and then we get reimbursed from FEMA, hopefully in a couple weeks, we'll get our money back and put the money back into the debt service.
Has that normally been the amount of time, Kim, that it takes to get reimbursed from FEMA? Is a couple weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
About 2 weeks.
That's track record?
Yeah, we're getting money from a couple different programs. So one program, they're putting a rush on it. So I'm hoping by the end of February.
And we've already submitted the paperwork.
So it's
not like they haven't got the paperwork already. It's just they'd like to see the canceled check.
Where does this have to go? D.C.?
Salem. Salem or Eugene.
Salem?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's through their OEM.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got a payer bill?
Yeah. So we have a resolution that we drafted up to make it official. Transfer the money out. Then we'll put the money back once we get our funds reimbursed.
At least my experience with grants, that's a pretty common practice to have to spend the money up front and then be reimbursed.
Well, right. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the first time in, well, since I've been here that we had this big of a pay request. So I don't know what they did in a tsunami time frame, but I just put a comment down here that we have to be mindful going forward when we start doing some bigger grants here. We need to make sure we have enough money in our bank account to pay the bills. So.
Okay.
Do you get a motion?
I move to approve the resolution authorizing court staff to transfer $363,225 from general fund, $38,000 from the USDA bond fund, and $50,000 from the debt service to capital projects fund for the progress payment on Basin 1 piling project.
Second. Gary?
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Moving on to information items, IFA Business Oregon meeting in Salem. Gary?
All right. So I scheduled a meeting Friday, March 1st at 10 a.m. in Salem at IFA office. And I kind of listed a few things that I told them I'd like to talk about. They may add a few items, but they haven't told me yet. But I plan on going up there, is just seeing if one or two commissioners want to go along and attend the meeting.
And Ken and Richard, I have let Gary know that I cannot make it to that particular one.
I'll have to look at my calendar.
Yeah.
Right.
What's the date of it?
It's Friday, March 1st. It's next Friday, actually.
No, I can't go.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't either. I'm going to be in Newport. So.
Okay.
I'll see what I can do, Gary. No promises, but I'll let you know as soon as I can.
Okay. No problem. Order. I know in the past, I think the first time I went there, I think you went to one of the meetings, but they requested a commissioner or two to come to the meetings. And they wanted to have meetings every quarter, just to make sure things are going smoothly. And I think it's been a year and a half, 2 years since last time I met with them. I don't know what happened when I was gone.
What are your times you're going to leave to head up there, Gary?
Well, it takes about 5 hours to get there. Mm-hmm. So I was going to leave about 4 o'clock in the morning. This is a meeting, and they're trying to drive back home.
I will consider it.
I'll carpool with you. I'll drive.
Oh, no. After this trip to Sun River? Yeah. Yeah, I'll see what I can do, or maybe Wesley or somebody. We'll get somebody to go through with you.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Things are busy.
Is there any other things that you... I put a list of things in here that I was interested in. I kind of threw out there. Any other comments or questions you want to throw at IFA? Okay.
I'm good with your list. Okay. So that being said, commissioner's comments. Tim?
The port's looking very nice. Get lots of comments all the time. The restrooms and just the overall cleanliness. So now we got to deal with 8 abandoned boats.
So we start the salmon season process next week. I'll be in Newport next week and for our first look at the forecast. For Chinook, we know absolutely nothing. That we don't get that till the day we get there. Coho sounds like it's some better than last year in terms of the lower Columbia fish, which is what we're fishing here. I don't know what to think about Chinook, but we'll find out. So we'll have that meeting next week, and then second week in March, we're in Vancouver for the first round for the 3 alternatives that then we'll bring back for the public. And that'll be our first look at what we're going to do. There's a rumor out on the street that's just running wild about the fact that the season's going to be closed. That's a byproduct of the Klamath River Recovery Plan. We overfished the Klamath River, or it was declared overfished, and they have to write a recovery plan. And those recovery plans have to look at how they're going to get those populations back in a short period of time. So there are 3 alternatives listed in that. One of them is a no-action alternative, which is status quo. If that's chosen, they feel the fish will be recovered in 2 years. The second alternative is some compromise of the 40,700 we're required to put in the river now. That may go up to 55, 56,000. The third alternative is to close the season. If they close the season, they estimate the recovery will take 1 year. So the council has recommended that they take the no action alternative. So but that's what's out there that talks about a closed season. There's no inkling about what the regular season is going to be like. That's what it's about. And we'll have one on the Sacramento River too. So we'll have to probably give up fish for both of those. And then in April, we'll know the final answers.
In April, Richard.
Right.
Okay. Anything else, Richard?
No.
So I would like to let the public know Commissioner Ken Raines, Commissioner Richard Heap, and myself, Gary Dillinger, Gary's wife, and our office staff, Danielle, all attended a state conference summit meeting in Sun River for extended training, board training. I attended, Gary and Danielle attended with Richard and Kim, but a cybercrime presentation. I don't think anybody in this room has a grip what that man told us in 5 hours. It is amazing what people are doing with our information.
He actually stood up at his computer in 15 minutes and hacked somebody.
Yes.
And showed you how easy it is to get their data.
Yes, he did.
And he told us that stolen credit cards have a longevity of less than 10 days.
Correct.
They'll steal them, sell them, and that they're only good for 10 days. But your medical records are what they really want. Yep. So
why?
Because there's a lot
of
$1 trillion
business a year. It's unbelievable. You'd have to see the presentation to
your fingerprint, your iris,
last forever.
DNA, you can't change that. If they've got that, they've got you.
That's why you never use biometrics on any of your security protocols.
Tom Beam?
So that's why you never use biometrics, fingerprints, eye scans, whatever, on your security protocol, because you can never change them. You're screwed. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah. Oh, I know it. I was there and listened.
Yeah.
It's really scary.
Along the line of being hacked in 15 minutes, you know, if you go to Applebee's or someplace like that, you can run your credit card through the little gizmo thing on your table. Leave yourself open to be hacked by somebody that knows how to do that within 5 minutes after you leave.
Yeah. He basically told us if you click on something in an email, you're putting yourself at risk. Mm-hmm. If you have, is it called Alexa? Is that what that thing is?
That's correct.
Oh, yeah.
He said, that's an open microphone into your house 24/7. Yep. They can listen to you at any time. So he came back and says, well, okay, I'm going back to a dial telephone.
And I'd also like to thank Travis Webster. Travis had the opportunity to make the trip with us, but instead Travis chose to stay here and keep the pile project going, and he's just about got it done. Very proud of you, Travis. Nice job. Yeah, and the rest of the staff, yeah, great job. Ken, thanks for being our budget officer again. April?
Thank you.
One other thing. On that security class, if you use the minimum number of letters, characters, like 6 or 8, they've got computers that'll break that code in a matter of minutes. If you use the 20 or whatever the maximum allowed, they may not ever break that code. So
yeah, that was interesting.
Use more.
And don't put any wireless cameras in your bedroom because they can hack those too. Stat talked about that. Did you need some time? We're getting done pretty early here tonight. Are you here for a presentation of any sorts or questions from the board or staff?
Come to me?
Yes, sir. Okay. We just had a gentleman in today, and I wasn't sure if that was you asking about some property here at the port. So, all right. With that being said, meeting adjourned. Next regular meeting is March 19th, by the way.
Yes. Nice.
Thank you.
John and Peggy, thanks for coming.